16 new targets for reducing Indigenous disadvantage in Australia will be unveiled when the new national agreement on closing the gap is released today. After lengthy consultations with Indigenous peak health bodies and with buy-in from Indigenous leaders and all state and territory governments, the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, is declaring it a new chapter in efforts to improve the lives and opportunities for First Nations peoples. Ken Wyatt is the Minister for Indigenous Australians. He joins us from our Parliament House studios. Ken Wyatt, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning. Good to be with you, Fran.
These are new targets, and we will come to some of them, Minister, but it's the process for implementing these targets that's the biggest change. What is different here?
Well, I think the front-end activity that we embarked on was to make sure that it was shared decision-making, that we worked together to identify what the targets would be to make a difference on the lives of Indigenous Australians. But it involved not just the Commonwealth, state and territory officials and the 51 peak Aboriginal organisations. And they worked through the agreement clause by clause. And when they reached an agreement between all of them, then that was the first step. The second is building the capacity of community organisations and community-controlled organisations. The third is looking at the way in which government agencies in all of our jurisdictions interact with our people. And fourthly, a commitment to data sharing so that we have informed decisions being made locally and the way it shapes policy for the future.
Okay, let's break that down a bit. The two major changes there is the fact that the peak organisations were being involved in drawing these out line by line, working out what the targets should be that are most relevant and important, but also building the capacity. Let's come to that in a minute, but let's deal with the states first, because state and federal government involvement here is new, isn't it? Is it fair to say that the first set of Closing the Gap targets set by Kevin Rudd in 2008 failed largely? We only hit two of them, I think, because there was little buy-in from the various state and territory governments, which actually not just fund many of these policies around education, health, but they implement them too. Was that a sort of a glaring gap that needed to be fixed before anything?
I think the glaring gap was accountability. Certainly, the former Prime Minister reached agreement with each state and territory on the targets, but the responsibility fell primarily to the Commonwealth, and that's why the Commonwealth always reported on closing the gap in the federal parliament. The new arrangement means we are all accountable, and so each state and territory will now report in their own parliaments what their gains have been against the 16 targets. The Commonwealth will also provide an aggregated national response. But what's the change in this too is the way in which we will be accountable in concert with Aboriginal people within each of the jurisdictions and with the Commonwealth, the role of the peaks in also scrutinising that accountability. But they also will be reporting on their achievements. And that all-round approach is important. But the other element that's different this time is local government is now part of the process.
Can we talk about that notion of accountability? Because the role of the Indigenous groups, as we've mentioned in this process, is radical change. They're going to be not just brought into the discussions and the designing of policies. They're going to be shared the data, which allows them to do that better. But as you say, you're also going to be building the capacity of Indigenous organisations so that they can deliver. How will you do that? I understand there's no new funding around this. So how is that going to happen to make sure that the Indigenous groups that are going to be given the job in many cases of leading the policy implementation to close the gap? How are they going to be empowered to do that?
Well, the process will mean that the way in which governments now develop policy, and I said this right from the beginning when I first came into the portfolio, policy will not be developed in my office. It'll be developed in partnership with the Aboriginal community. Now, the 51 peaks have identified key and critical areas that they believe will make a difference to the lives of our people at the community level and certainly across the nation. And on that basis, we will work together as to what the programs will look like, how they'll be implemented, but equally, we will need the voices of people at the Aboriginal community level to also influence the way in which we have to think about making a difference on the ground. And the peaks will be resourced, but those matters to do with funding are a separate process because we want to focus on the four pillars that are absolutely critical that ensures a collaborative approaches in the way in which we join up our efforts to make a difference. In the past, we've been doing it individually and it has not been a concerted tripartite approach to resolving matters that have impacted on the lives of Indigenous Australians.
And that is obviously critical, and that's why Pat Turner, for instance, one of the Indigenous leaders of this clause-by-clause process you've been through, is hailing this as a game-changer, this bringing, making it a tripartite approach. But some groups are concerned about the potential for blame shifting. For instance, one of the new targets that has been come to through this is to reduce the number of Indigenous Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children in out-of-home care by 45% by 2031. Now, this is a important, critically important target, but that's tough to meet. And some are worried that if it's not reached, then it's the Indigenous groups that will bear the blame for the failure. Do you understand that concern, and how can you reassure them?
Actually, what I want to say is that the responsibility sits with all three groups, the Commonwealth, the state and territory governments, and the organisations. But this process will require us to identify what are those things that we can do to prevent children entering that process that leads to out-of-home care. That's the front-end work we've agreed to do further work on. But the other component is, what are the outcomes that means children are back within their communities with kinship family structures, but at the same time equally are protected from whatever it was that caused the concern about their welfare and safety? And nobody will be blamed. This is about how we make gains and celebrate those gains, but continue to work stridently to achieving the targets.
And that one of those four pillars you mentioned, I go to it again, building the capacity of the Indigenous groups and communities to deliver, to work on and deliver these changes to help make them happen. I mean, how are you going to build that capacity on the ground for the groups who are dealing on the front line with, you know, out-of-home care?
I'll use the analogy of all of us putting our shoulder to the wheel. At the same time, recognising the primacy of particular peak organisations who over many years have developed knowledge and skills around approaches. Part of that building capacity is for governments to listen and look at solutions, and in some instances for state and territory governments to resource initiatives that will enable Aboriginal organisations to be effective in delivering the outcome that we're all seeking. By the three of us working closely, it means it's a combined effort. But the other layer that I have overlooked just in that statement is local governments, because the Australian Local Government Association are also a signatory to this agreement, which ties in local government. So there are now four real key partners, but they have to base their work around the co-design and working with Aboriginal organisations and communities in finding those solutions that might be location-based as well.
So they have to be accountable for actually making these partnerships work. You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is the Federal Indigenous Affairs Minister, Ken Wyatt. Minister, one of the new and long overdue targets is to reduce the rate of Indigenous adults held in incarceration by at least 15%. This compares with the earlier goal of a 5% reduction by 2028. How's that going to happen when so many recommendations from previous inquiries, even the Royal Commission into Black Deaths in Custody, which is nearly 30 years ago, you know, haven't brought on the change? In fact, numbers have almost doubled since then.
Yeah, they have. And part of the discussions that we've had with state and territory jurisdictions and through the officials working group, they've been looking at what are the opportunities for doing this. And already WA, for example, has removed the legislation. They've implemented legislation that removes the mandatory sentencing of people who default on fines. Now, that really impacts on a number of Indigenous women who may report a domestic violence incident, suddenly discover there is a bench warrant, they're incarcerated, which leaves their children vulnerable. The Attorney, and I compliment the Attorney-General on removing that impediment, Victoria is thinking about a couple of initiatives that have been shared with me, but I won't cover that in detail. So we will see states starting to look at what are some of those causative factors that see the higher incarceration rates. And for juveniles, what I suspect we'll see is diversion from out of incarceration pathways. But I think we've got to go back to the early years of life.
Just on the juveniles, I mean, there's an opportunity. We're talking this week, in fact, the Attorney General's about the age of criminality, and this, you know, there's pressure for it to be raised here in Australia to 14. Wouldn't that help keep young, mostly Indigenous kids under the age of 14 out of detention? Wouldn't that be a good place to start?
It will be, and I have been liaising closely with the Attorney General, Christian Porter, and he is working on this issue with state attorney generals to achieve this outcome. And they're progressing work, and I'm waiting to see what the outcome is. But look, it's a logical place to start.
Sure. And Ken, just finally, there was going to be a recommendation, I thought it was discussed, about a commitment to reduce the proportion of Indigenous women and girls aged 15 and older who've experienced violence in the past by 50% by 2031. That's not in the list. Why not?
Actually, it's still in consideration. What the PEAKS and the working group went through was they looked at the target from before. It was only physical violence. What they want to do is more work on sexual abuse, financial violence, psychological violence, and the social emotional well-being elements.
Okay.
And they will come back with a target. So that has not slipped off the radar at all. It's just that they've phrased it in a way that requires further work to refine and set a target that can be achieved.
Ken White, thank you very much for joining us, and good luck with these targets and implementing this. Closing the gap is what we need to do. We've been trying since 2008. Still got a lot of work to do. Thank you.
We have. Thank you very much, Fran.
Ken Wyatt is the Minister for Indigenous Australians on the new Closing the Gap targets that will be released later this morning, with a whole new way of implementing them, this tripartite agreement.